That was beautiful beyond words. You hear me? That was beautiful beyond words. That was beautiful on so many levels. The words of the song, the voice that sang it, I'm going to call them children, the children who danced it. Now, I know Kylie's over 18, but these are young people. These are not professional dancers. These are not trained by human hands people. These are children trained by the voice of God, by the Spirit of God, following the movements of God with their bodies in that dance. It's amazingly beautiful when you think about the fact that they are sisters, and they probably fight like sisters do. But did you see the love? Did you see the compassion? Did you see the unity between the two of them? That was beautiful on so many levels. And I'm sure glad I don't have to follow it. I don't. God will follow it. I'm not speechless, you can tell, because I'm saying things, but I'm just overwhelmed by the beauty of that dance and the execution of it. And it doesn't hurt anything that I like country singers either, does it? That don't hurt nothing. Okay, to the task at hand. A time to plant. This is the time of year that farmers, in my experience, plan what they're going to plant in the springtime so that they have what they need through the fall and the winter. This is the time of year when gardeners plan what they're going to put in their garden, and they're poring over the seed catalogs to choose their favorite seeds. This is the time of year when we plant our words in a declaration service. Now, when my name came up assigned to the 29th of December, and I realized that's 2 days before New Year's Eve, and we're going to have a declaration service, and Bishop is going to teach on declarations as he always does every year, and so well, I said, God, what do you want me to teach? And he said, declarations. And I looked at him like, why? Because Bishop always teaches on it, and he does a good job, and I've learned so much from him, and what else is there to say, God? He didn't answer my question. As Bishop said recently, he doesn't always answer stupid questions. And when I asked him again, what do you want me to say? It's all been said. Silence. So you know what he wanted from me. Not my understanding, but my obedience. And I have since then come to understand why he wanted me to do it. He needed me to recount or review my history with declarations. Because my history with declarations, even though I didn't know that's what they were, started when I was a child. And so tonight I'm going to tell you some things about me that you may or may not know, probably don't know. So let's go to the first verse. Ecclesiastes 3:2. Interesting that I preached on Ecclesiastes the last time, isn't it? So that was right on the top of my brain. Verse 2 of chapter 3 says, a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to harvest. I will say to you, that as surely as there is a time to be born and a time to die, there is a time to plant and a time to harvest. As surely as death is going to follow birth, a harvest of what you plant is going to follow your planting. Somewhere in Genesis, I think it's right after the flood, it says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, and day and night will not cease. So as long as the earth remains, there's going to be a time to plant. Seed time and harvest. On the farm, I clearly remember my father planning every year around this time just exactly what grains he was going to plant in what field, how many acres of which crop, because he knew pretty well what he was going to need to feed the livestock over the next year. I also clearly remember my mother with her seed catalogs and picking out everything that she was going to plant in what I will call a ginormous garden, which we three children had to tend. And it was good training for us. It was good exercise. I learned a whole lot about plants and taking care of them. And she planned what she was going to plant according to, first of all, what she knew her family would want to eat fresh during the spring and the summer and the early fall. Secondly, according to what she knew was already still on the shelves canned and what was not. So if the shelves were still full of pickles, she wasn't going to plant a lot of cucumbers. She was probably going to plant a lot of tomatoes so that she could can those. But they were very intentional about what they planted. The lesson in that for us is to be more intentional about the words we plant. Are you intentional about what you say, or are you careless about what you say? Because if my mom or dad had been careless about what they planted, our life would not have been as good as it was. They were very intentional. I think the most important thing we can recalibrate in 2022 is how we see our words and how we use them. If you really knew the power of your words, the importance of your words, there are so many things you wouldn't say. You wouldn't say, my back is killing me. No, you wouldn't say things that work against what you want. I was talking with Tamara before service, and she's struggling with her back, and she said that. And being the maybe unkind person I am, I said, don't say that! And she took it back right away. She changed it. But if we really understood the power of every word we say, we wouldn't speak careless words. Pastor Linda's sermon, I Am, was all about the importance of what we say. We are responsible for every word we speak, and we are going to reap a harvest from every word we speak. Now, she can call that word back in and say, I rebuke myself in the name of Jesus. And that's what we need to do when we speak careless words, because there is a time to plant and there is a time to harvest, and the harvest is coming as surely as death is coming to anyone who's been born. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. How often has Bishop said to us, plant an argument and reap an abundance of arguments? You know, plant chaos and you're going to reap an abundance of chaos. Plant criticism and you're going to reap an abundance of criticism. But plant kindness and you will reap an abundance of kindness. Plant generosity and you will reap generosity. Plant goodness and you will reap goodness. Plant things you want to reap. Now, I know for me, that meant I had to learn to keep my mouth shut. I had to learn to think before I opened my mouth. We learn that through hard lessons usually, but that's where we need to be. Am I thinking before I'm opening my mouth? Or am I just shooting off my mouth according to my emotions or my feelings? I remember we were handing out turkeys one time at Christian Life Center, and one of the women working beside me said, nobody's ever given me a turkey. Someone else in the crew said, well, how many turkeys have you given away? Ouch, yeah, ouch. We reap what we sow. So are you saying, boy, you never listen to me? Is that what you want? Because you just planted, you never listen to me. Are you saying, I get cold, I get bronchitis every single year? If you are, is that what you want to reap because you just planted it? What are you saying? you know, in careless moments that you don't want to reap. And again, I will say, you better rebuke those words. Remember, I'm going to tell on you, Marisol, but I know you're okay with this. Remember when Bishop stood up here and he announced he had gotten his booster, and there were several people in the congregation who went, oh, no! Well, you know, with a tone of dismay and expectation of the fact that he might be suffering some ill effects. And did you hear how quickly he rebuked that word? Oh, no. I'm not suffering any side effects. I refuse that. Now, don't you think, before he went to get that, before he walked into the clinic, don't you think he said, I'm going to get my booster because it's the right thing to do. I'm going to get my booster because I have a lot of people to protect. I'm going to get this booster shot, and I'm not going to suffer any ill effects. I'm going to get it, and it will do me good and no harm. Don't you think he said something like that before he ever walked in? Absolutely. Before he ever walks into the hospital, he lays claim to anything that's in there that will not touch his body, and that we call this holy ground, and we declare that anything that's in here that's evil will not get on. You take a lesson. Learn from what's modeled before us. Use your words carefully. Think before, you know, I'll say this to myself, think before you open your mouth, Donna. Just think before you open your mouth. So let's go to the next verse. I don't remember what it is, but I'll find out when you do. Ah, oh, yes, 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 yes. Ha, ha, ha. Jesus told them, these are the people he was preaching to, another story. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who planted good seed in his field. Do you see, first of all, that the kingdom of heaven, if you're a kingdom citizen, you should be planting good seed? The kingdom of heaven is like a man who planted good seed. Let's keep our mouths shut and not plant bad seeds. Beet seeds. That night, everyone was asleep. His enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat and then left. Now, can I tell you, if you are planting weed seeds in your field, in your garden, because that's where you plant in your own garden. If you're planting weed seeds in your garden, you are spiritually asleep. Wake up. Wake up and pay attention to what you're planting. Every word you speak is a seed. And every seed grows up into whatever is programmed into it. That night when everyone was asleep, are you sleeping? Does the enemy of your soul come while you're spiritually sleeping and bring words to your mind that come out of your mouth without thought? That plant weeds among the wheat. Let's go on. Later, the wheat sprouted, and the heads of grain grew, but the weeds also grew. It's inevitable. They're both going to grow. The good seed you plant, the bad seed you plant, the weeds you plant, they're all going to grow. And you don't want them, do you? The man's servants came to him and said, you planted good seed in your field. Where did the weeds come from? And the man said, an enemy planted these weeds. Recognize that any time you say something that you don't want to reap, something that is contrary to God's word, something that is contrary to God's will for you, an enemy has planted those thoughts in your brain and those words in your mouth. And any time you speak negative words over someone else, you have made yourself their enemy. If I looked at you and said something negative about you, I just made myself an enemy. And you, if you heard my words, would be well advised to rebuke what I said so that you don't have to eat the fruit of those words. All right, let's go on. Oh, I got a few things to tell you before I get to this one, so just hold that thought. I was well acquainted with the idea of declarations before I was old enough to understand what they were. I remember that I think I was 8 years old. I remember my father saying, in 1959, we're going to get a TV. Well, that was probably 1954 or 55. So to an 8-year-old, Waiting till 1959 seemed like forever, didn't it? Like that'll never happen. And walking home from school every day past Nick's North Side Market, where he had TVs in his big showroom window, and there was always one on and playing, so you could see what you were wishing for and waiting for. It just seemed like forever and ever and ever. But my father, every time it was brought up, we will get a TV in 1959. Guess when we got a TV? That's exactly right. My father knew the power of putting his words out there. And in 1959, we got a TV. I remember him saying in 1963, I will buy a new livestock truck. He was a livestock dealer. A well-working, mechanically sound livestock truck was important to his business and to our prosperity. And he set the date in 1963. And in 1963, he left Neillsville, Wisconsin, and drove hundreds of miles to St. Cloud, Minnesota, to buy a brand new International Ford Harvester truck. Because that was his plan. That was his declaration. And drove home with it, and we were all ecstatic. When my sister and I were young girls, I don't know exactly, we know 8 or 9 maybe, my dad caught us, this is a no-no on a farm, okay? Caught us riding the cattle. We would jump on their backs and ride for as long as we could stay on, and you know, they either threw us off or we fell off. He never told us he had seen that. Instead, he told my mother, I'm going to go buy them some horses to train. There was a livestock sale barn not too far from us, and a man by the name of Harold Mattis, who was a rancher in Montana, every spring and every fall brought truckloads of horses that had never been touched by human hands and cattle that he didn't need, and he sold them at that livestock barn. And my father would go there, and he'd usually buy 6 or 8 horses at a time, because there were 2 of us girls, and we were going to go, that one's yours, that one's mine, that one's yours, that one's mine. So it's got to be an even number, and enough to keep us busy working until the next, you know, spring or fall roundup out in Montana when they would bring more of them. Well, in that season then, because that's what we were doing, and he would let us break them and train them and take care of them and sell them and keep the profits. So that was good for us. It kept us off his cows. I can't believe to this day that we were that dumb that we were riding cows, but we did. Anyway, we fell off those horses a lot. We got thrown off a lot. We got bumps and bruises and whatever. And somewhere in that season of time, remember, well, if you don't know, I went to a Christian school. Bible study was a big part of the Christian school. Somewhere in that season, I found this verse. The righteous person has many troubles, but the Lord rescues him from all of them. I thought that was a good verse today, too, for my day. And he rescues me from all of them. The Lord guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. I read that and I went, hey, 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 that works for me. I will never have a broken bone. I started saying that when I was, 8 or 9 years old, 10 maybe. I will never have a broken bone. I'm 75 and I have never had a broken bone. The word works. It was not for lack of opportunity. People would, my sister and I, we'd train these horses and we'd ride them from the farm down the highways into town because we were trying to get them accustomed to anything they might meet when we sold them. So we'd often be riding up the main street and doing this and doing that with the horses. And people would often talk to us about how dangerous our work was. And I would look right at them and say, confidently, I will never have a broken bone. I will never have a broken bone. And I will never have a broken bone. I found, I don't want to say by accident, God led me to it. But what I realized once I came You know, once I got saved when I was 40, and right away I was in a church where the power of our words was taught, and where we were taught to make declarations, and you know, to speak over our life the things we wanted, and not to speak the things we didn't want. And I realized in that time period that what I had done when I was a young girl was that I had sent words ahead of me into my future. I had commissioned my future because I had said, I will never have a broken bone. It's so important for us to send words ahead of us into our future. When you're thinking about your decrees and your declarations, or you're going to decree your declarations, think about what do you want to send ahead of you into your future. What do you want to send ahead of your children into their future? What do you want to send ahead of your friends, your neighbors? You can set up the future with your words. I will never have a broken bone. Now, at the age I'm at, I can tell you I am so happy that I made that declaration when I was so young. And I made so many other declarations over my health. I will never have a heart attack, stroke, cancer, diabetes. No sickness, disease, or germ that touches my body can live. No infirmity can exist in my body. Anything that's planted in my body that's not of my Heavenly Father will be uprooted and destroyed. That's Matthew 15:13, I think. But I planted, after I got saved, a lot of words about my health. I planted a lot of words about everything, but I'm telling you about those because now here I am living out the fruit of all those words that I have spoken for so many years. I have that sheet behind me with all those declarations on it. My declaration over health is about 3/4 of a page because, you know, it's grown over many years, right? Okay, so it is really important to send words ahead of yourself into your future. And if you want a scriptural example, this verse was actually a prophecy about Jesus. Let's go to the next one. These things happened, John 19:36. These things happened to make the scripture come true that not one of his bones will be broken. That prophecy was about Jesus. And if you recall the story about Jesus at his crucifixion, they crucified everybody, and it was on the Sabbath started at 6 o'clock that night, and so there was a law that they couldn't have anybody hanging on the cross at the time of when the Sabbath started. So they would send the soldiers out to break the legs of those who were on the cross so that they would die before 6 o'clock. When they came to Jesus, he is already dead. Why? Because Jesus said, you can't take my life, I'll give it up. And he gave it up when he was ready to give it up. And they didn't have to break his bones. And these things happened to make the scripture come true that not one of his bones will be broken. There are over 300 prophecies, words, that God spoke into the future over Jesus' life when he got here. God spoke into the future. Not one of his bones will be broken. And it happened so that scripture would be fulfilled. And every one of those 300 plus prophecies that were spoken over Jesus were fulfilled. Do you think we have a right to speak into our future? I'm going to ask it this way. Do you think we have an obligation? If God has given us that power, if God has given us that authority, and he has, then we have an obligation to use it. God made us in his image. I know you know that. That means we're like him in every way. That includes our words. That includes the power of our words. That includes the authority of our words. He invested his authority and his power into our words. How important is it for us to use them well, to plant good words, not to plant things we don't want to harvest or don't want anyone else to harvest? Not one of his bones will be broken. Every prophecy that was written about him, every word that God sent ahead of him into the earth was fulfilled. Now, another story. might be my last one about me. When I was in kindergarten, and kindergarten back then was always, well, there was morning kindergarten and afternoon kindergarten, and you either went from 8 to 11:30 or you went from 12:30 to 3:30. I went to morning kindergarten, and after kindergarten, I went to my grandma's house to stay with her. She lived a few blocks from the school. And I already knew then that I wanted to be a teacher. I had known that since I was 3 years old when I said, I want to be a teacher when I grow up, and I had never had one except a Sunday school teacher. But that was, I knew that about myself. My grandmother knew that about me, and she encouraged me in it. I remember that on her wall, as you came in the door by the kitchen, you walked through the door, and over here on the wall was a calendar with a picture of a brand new dormitory that had been built at a college called Martin Luther College in New Ulm, Minnesota. And Grandma told me all about that college and all about that picture, and she said they train teachers at that school. Oh, yeah? I said, I'm going to go to school there someday. And when the calendar was done, outdated, she cut the calendar part off, and she left the picture on the wall. And I remember so many times walking into her kitchen, looking at that picture and going, I'm going to go to school there someday. Well, I went to school there someday. I started college there in 1964. And I graduated in 1968, and she lived to see it happen. I mean, that's the power of our words. I sent words when I was 5 years old ahead of me into the future about my education. Did I know what I was doing? No. I mean, I was following my father's example. I didn't really have a clue. But when I got saved and I understood the power of our words and the power that God has invested in our words, I began to take it a lot more seriously and write a lot of declarations over my life, making decrees. And we're going to get to that, but a decree is only official when you declare it. We've got to declare it. We've got to make it known. We've got to make it public. Okay, let's go on. I don't want to stay here too long. Bishop, you quoted this verse before service started. Are we in the right place? When he was praying, the rain and the snow come down from heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. God said, I send my word out, and it always produces fruit. It will always accomplish what I want it to. Notice in the beginning, he compares his word to the snow and the rain that come down and water the earth, and you are the earth. And you are watered by his word. You are watered by what he has to say. Do not neglect the word of God when you think about what you want to grow, what you want to sow, what you want to reap. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. Now, these words, he's saying it about himself. But every word that is there is true of you. It's the same with my word. It's the same with your word. You send it out, and it always produces fruit, good or bad. It always produces fruit. You probably are acquainted with families where you heard parents say to their kids, you'll never amount to anything. Yeah, it's a very, very, very foolish thing to say. And you probably have noticed that they grew up and didn't. Our words, we send it out, and it always produces fruit. I am healed by Jesus' stripes. I send that word out, and it produces fruit. There are many times when I have to stand and put my feet flat and speak to my body. Bishop caught me one day. I was coming in the door, and I leaned back against the wall, and he said, "Are you okay?" I said, "Yeah, I just have to talk to my back for a minute." And I will stand and talk to my back. And I will say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to be straight. I command every vertebrae, every disc, every nerve, every ligament to line up with the word of God. And I forbid pain in my back, and I will walk straight, and I will walk strong. And I command my shoulders to come into alignment, and I command my hips to rotate into place. I have to plant the word of God in my body. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. You send it out, and it always produces fruit. Be careful what you're sending out. And it will accomplish all I want it to. Do you have that confidence in your words? Because you can. Your words are invested with God's authority and God's power. You're made in His image. And just as He said in Genesis chapter 1, 10 times, "Let there be," and it was so. "Let there be," and it was so. "Let there be," and it was so. The words you speak, and it is so. And He looked, when He was done, looked over all He had made and said, "It was very good." Now, can you look over everything that your words produce and say, "It's very good"? Or do you have to look over some crops that you want to pull up, that you don't want to eat the fruit of? I mean, we all do. There's not one of us who doesn't. I love Pastor Linda because she's really quick to catch me if I say words that are not fruitful. I don't remember what I said recently, and she looked at me and said, "You might want to pull that word back in, Donna." And I did. You need somebody like that in your life, somebody who will hold you accountable. I wish she was with me more often. I need somebody closer, someone I'm with a lot more than that. We all need someone who will correct us. But you know, the thing is, she will do it, and then I'm more careful about my words again, because it's easy. It's very easy to get careless. God says your words will accomplish all you want them to, and they will prosper everywhere you send them. Notice He says send them. So when you speak, you're sending your words out. Every word that you ever spoke is still out there speaking to whatever you spoke it to. Just as that word that said, "Not a bone of His body shall be broken," how many years was that out there speaking before Jesus came to this earth? Hundreds, if not a couple thousand. Long time. And every word that you speak is out there speaking, bringing itself to pass. When you speak a word with the authority that God has given you, and you back it up with God's word, everything in heaven and on earth has to come into alignment with you say, with what you said. Things move in the physical realm. Things move in the spiritual realm to do the word that you spoke. It will accomplish everything you want it to and prosper everywhere you send it. Now, again, does that tell you the importance of being careful about your words? Because there are words we say, and we don't want them to accomplish what we said. We don't want them to prosper where we send them. Let's go on. Matthew 17:20. "Truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it'll move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Now let's review what Bishop tells us about this. He's not talking about a literal mountain. The Bible is not literal in everything it says. He's not. You can go in the highest mountain or the smallest mountain. You can stand in front of any mountain you choose, and you can say, "Move from here to there. Move from here to there. Move from here to there. I said move from here." You can whisper to it. You can speak to it, holler at it, scream at it for decades. You can waste your life doing it. And the mountain isn't going to move. He's talking about obstacles in your life, circumstances in your life, situations on the earth. You have the authority and the power to speak to the obstacles to the circumstances, to the situation. You don't like what you see in the government? Speak to it. You don't like what's going on in your home? Speak to it. You don't like what your car's doing? Speak to it. You don't like what your dog is doing? Speak to it. You all know my story about the crows? Anyone who doesn't? You don't know that? Oh, you don't know? Oh, I get to tell it. Oh, yay, God. Okay. When I lived in Kalamazoo, we lived in a really nice neighborhood. I fed a lot of birds, and I looked forward to all these species coming. The only bird I never wanted to see was crows. I don't like crows. Crows are bullies at the bird feeder. They are. And they build these big, nasty-looking nests and poop all over the ground. And I don't like crows. I never did like crows. Right across the street from our house was a man who fed the crows. He had a big, what they call a platform feeder, you know, made out of a 2x4. And he put shelled corn on it for the crows day after day. The squirrels liked it, the crows liked it, and I hated it. So one day I made a decree out loud. I said, my property is off limits to crows. You are not allowed on my property. My property is a no-fly zone. You are not allowed to fly over my property. You can go to that feeder all you want, but you cannot fly over my property to get there, and you cannot come to roost in my trees. And I repeated it over and over until there were no crows coming to my house. There were no crows visible on our property. There were no crows flying over in our... I do remember one day when two crows had the audacity to come from the feeder across the street and sit in a tree branch right on the, you know, right across the road from, and my husband happened to be outside and he said, "Hey, don't you know you're not allowed here?" I heard him say it. I heard him say it. It tickled me. It made me so happy. So, and I have words over my property right now. Bears are not allowed on my property. Hogs are not allowed on my property. Poisonous snakes are not allowed on my property. Anything that comes there with the intent to harm us is not allowed on my property. And the snakes tear up the sod all around us, but not on our property. You drive down our road, you can see where the hogs were. The hogs walk right over there. My dogs sit in the yard and watch them go. Mama hogs, mom! They walk around behind. They walk out the other side, out to the road. The bears do the same thing. There's a trail that they follow. They do not walk on my property. Why not? Because when I put my words out there, everything in heaven and in earth, in the spiritual realm and the physical realm, collaborates to bring my words to pass. Do you have confidence in your words? I have confidence in the words over my health. I have confidence in the words that I speak over myself. Pastor Linda preached about I am. I have a lot of I am statements on my declaration page. For example, I am a problem solver. I am a solution. That's two different things. Oh, I love declarations. I'm sorry. And I'm not the least bit sorry. I love them. So where were we? Oh, yeah, we were starting on this verse. Truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move and nothing will be impossible for you. And we're talking about circumstances, situations, obstacles. But I want you to notice, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed. Here, to me, Jesus is speaking Jesus here again. He is not talking about the size of your faith. He is not talking about the size of the seed. And you will see some translations that say, if you have faith as small as a grain. But the size of the seed is not the point here. The point is what's programmed into it. It doesn't matter whether it's a mustard seed, which I would call a medium-sized seed, or a lettuce seed, or a zinnia seed, which are so tiny you can't possibly pick up one of them, or a cucumber, or a pumpkin, whatever seed, whatever size, it's not the size of the seed. Every one of them grow up and produce what's programmed into them. And Jesus is saying, if you have faith, like a grain of mustard seed, because it is programmed to fall into the ground and sprout up into that tree, that plant. Whatever you plant is going to grow up into what is programmed into it. If I plant a tomato seed, well, I don't plant tomato seeds. So let me pick something different. If I plant a zinnia seed, that zinnia seed is going to grow up into a zinnia plant. And then I harvest the seeds of it. I do. And I plant them again the next year. And they grow up into what? Zinnias. Because that's what's programmed into them. That's their DNA. That's their RNA, too. Whatever is programmed into the seed is what it's going to grow up into. So whatever is programmed into the seed that you're planting, whatever word you're planting, that's what it's going to grow up into. Very, very important for us to choose our words carefully, for us to choose our words wisely. Now, oh, I'll wait till the next verse. Go to the next verse, please. This is in Luke. This is so much fun. This is as much fun as the last verse. This is just so much fun. I find the Word of God to be very much fun. James and John, Jesus' followers, saw this, and we'll talk about what they saw in a minute. And they said, Lord, do you want us to speak so fire will come down from heaven and burn them up as Elijah did? Okay, what happened? Jesus and his disciples were walking through Samaria. Samaritans hated the Jews. Jews hated the Samaritans. They never walked through one another's country, but Jesus and his disciples did. And the Samaritans were not hospitable to Jesus because they knew he was headed for Jerusalem, which they were very much opposed to. So they didn't welcome Jesus. And the disciples saw that, and they went to Jesus and they said, hey, Jesus, you want us to call down fire from heaven? Shall we speak some words that fire will come down and burn them up? Hey, come on, Jesus, they aren't treating you right. Let us call down fire from heaven on them. Do you know what's amazing about that? They knew they could. These are young kids. Jesus' disciples were not adults. Only Jesus and Peter were subject to the temple tax, and you were subject to the temple tax once you were 20 years old. So all the others were younger than that. John was the youngest of his disciples, and yet he knew, I have so much authority in my words. I have so much power in my words. I can command fire to come down from heaven and burn them up. Do you have that confidence in your words? No. It's okay. Will you get it? Yeah. By using them, by putting your words out there and watching God bring them to pass, I am still amazed right now when I think of the fact that I said not a bone of my body will ever be broken, and I'm 75 years old, and I have never had a broken bone, and not for lack of opportunity. I mean, all the things we did with the horses until I was graduated from college, and even then, I did. And the cars that I've wrecked, oh, Lord, help me. I totaled two cars all by myself without any help with anybody else in them. And I've been in other... Have I had lots of opportunity to have broken bones? Yes. Why do I not have broken bones? Because I put my word out there. I planted that word and it grew up. And God is protecting that word, sending words into our future. So here these guys are, who are young men, and they're like, okay, Jesus, how long have they been his disciples? You know, it was only 3 years he was in ministry, so this is not at the end of the... What have they been, a year and a half, maybe a short time? Have you been listening to the word for a year or a year and a half, and you have that kind of confidence in your words? We got some learning to do, don't we? We got some growing to do. We got some confidence. You want us to call down fire from heaven and burn them up? I just think it's amazing that they knew they could. And then Jesus looks at them and says, no, guys, no. You don't understand what kind of spirit you have. Two things there. They didn't understand what kind of spirit was speaking to them, causing them to even think about burning some folks alive. They also didn't understand what spirit Jesus was of. They didn't understand the heart and the spirit of Jesus yet. When you speak your words, do they reflect the heart of God? When you speak harsh words to someone, whose spirit is that reflecting? Whose DNA is in a harsh word? See, because the DNA of our words is either the DNA of God, our Father, or the DNA of Satan. And what DNA is programmed into your words comes from the spirit from which it is spoken. So he said, you don't know what kind of spirit you have. You don't have the kind of... Later on, he goes on to say the Son of Man didn't come to destroy. And so it is with us. God gave us the power that he gave us in our words, not so that we could destroy, but so that we could build the kingdom, so that we could build people up, so that we could encourage people, so that we could speak to their circumstances. They don't even know how to. And you can come and speak to their circumstances. You are the one who can come with the words, with the authority behind your words, with the power in your words that you know you have because God invested his power in you when he created you in his image. We don't think about that often enough. When God created me in his image, he created my words with his power, with his authority. We have to know what kind of spirit we're of and speak by the Spirit of God. Speak from the heart of God. I remember Bishop saying one time, because there's a Bible verse that says that we have the mind of Christ. And I love that verse. I want the mind of Christ. But I remember him saying the mind of Christ will do you no good if you don't have the heart of Christ. And that's true. We need the heart of Christ so that we're speaking words that have the DNA of Christ. So that that's what's programmed into these words that we have the authority and the power to speak. Okay, I think we shall go on. So I don't want to do a part two. There would be no reason to do a part two. 1 second, excuse me. In Job, it says, you will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you. The Bible clearly tells us to make declarations, and that when we declare them, it's established for us. When that happens, light will shine on our way. So we need to carefully think about the decrees we want to put out into the atmosphere, and we need to speak them, declare them, publicize them, so that they will be established. Let's go to the next slide. Yes. A decree is an official order that has been issued by a legal authority. In this case, you. You're a legal authority. You have the authority of God. So you create an official order. I command my back to come in alignment with the word of God. That's an official order. And I spoke it out loud. I had the authority to it. To declare something means to make the decree official by making it known, usually by speaking it out loud. Now, if you think back to the Old Testament and the stories where the kings would make decrees and a decree was not revocable, they couldn't revoke it once it was made, they couldn't change it. Who was that? Darius, who made the decree, and Daniel got thrown in the lion's den because he couldn't revoke his decree when he found out that he had been tricked. They made decrees, and then they sent messengers out throughout the kingdom to declare the decree, to publish it, to post it, to write it, to read it, to say it. Remember in medieval times, you've heard about the town crier? The town crier was the one that went into the city streets and into the city square in the neighborhoods to declare whatever law had been decreed. We must declare our decree to establish it, like the town criers did. When you make decrees, then you need to stand up and declare them. I declare my decree that whatever it is you want to declare and decree. So I didn't understand why God had me doing this You know, why does he want me to teach on declarations, on our words, when Bishop does it so well and often, you know, often every year? I didn't realize that God needed me to review my history with declarations so that I would be ready for what was coming down the tracks. Amen. If you heard Bishop a couple Fridays ago when he was praying and he said, and we pray for, and he was very, very general, what's going on with Pastor Donna's neck. But what's going on with Pastor Donna's neck is I had been 3 nights unable to lay down in the bed without it getting numb. First of all, it was my left arm, and then it was my right arm, and then it was both arms, and it became to the point where I just couldn't lay down because there was no circulation. It felt like there was no circulation in either of my arms. So I'm thinking, okay, I wonder if there's a blood clot. I wonder if, you know, the blood is being cut off. What's going on? So I called my cardiologist and told her what was going on and asked for an appointment. And she said, no, go immediately to ER in Sebring. She was very specific, Pastor Marjorie. Go to ER in Sebring and let them evaluate you. So I went there, and they did all the cardiac evaluations, everything they would do to make sure there was no blood clot, that there was no problem with my heart. And she comes in and she says, I am 99% sure that this has nothing to do with your heart. We're going to take some x-rays of your neck. So they took x-rays of my neck. And when they brought the x-rays of my neck up, you know, to the room, on the little machine, and they put it on, and they showed it to me, and I know what bones should look like. You know, bones have structure. To me, they look like building blocks, and the 3 bones in my neck should look like 3 building blocks. Well, my bones in my neck looked like crumbled cookies. I'm serious. I mean, there was no definable edges to any one of the and she's pointing that out to me. She said, you know, this should look, and there are no definable lines there. So, and I was the one that said, they don't look like building blocks. They look like crumbled cookies. Right. So, my immediate response, and I thank God that it was my immediate response, is, well, I'm going to have to make some declarations over the bones of my neck. And my decree and my declaration is that God is restoring the bones of my neck to their original plan and purpose. Now, do I believe that he can do that? Absolutely I do. Do I have confidence that he will do that for me? Absolutely I do. And I have basis for it. My daughter and I were in a car accident when she was 4 and a half, almost 5, I'll say 5, when she was 5, and she broke her back. Her back was broken by the seatbelt. Her back was broken, and she lost a foot of her stomach and intestines. She was in tough shape. So she had to see a back surgeon. They did back surgery that night. They took bone out of her hip and put it into her spine where it was broken. And they put rods on the back bones, and their word was that, you know, she'll always have to be checked for scoliosis because as she grows, the place where they fused the bones is not going to grow, and so she'll have curvature of the spine, scoliosis. And, you know, we expected those rods would stay there for the rest of her life. And about a year later, we went in for her 6-month evaluation, and they took x-rays as they always did, and we went into the room where the doctor was going to see us, and he had 2 light boxes up on the wall, and he put the current x-rays up on that one, and he looked at him, he stood there, he looked at him silently, and then he picked up his phone and he called the girl out in the office. He said, will you bring me Peggy's last x-rays before this? He brought them in, he put them up on the other light box. Even I could see the hairline where it had been fractured, where you could see a hairline of light. And he said, that little hairline there, that should be there for the rest of her life. Anytime she has an x-ray, they should be able to tell that she had a broken back. He said, if I hadn't done her surgery, I would say this girl never had a broken back. Well, if God did it for Peggy, why would he not do it for me? So my decree, my declaration is out there that God is restoring the bones of my neck according to his original design and purpose. And I'm not going to need the surgery that the ER doctor told me was the only solution, if they would be willing to do it. No, I have a God, and I have the power to send words into my life. What did I just tell you? When you make those words, everything in the spiritual realm and the natural realm is required to collaborate with what you said to bring it to pass. Do I know if he has recreated them as of today? No, I don't know. I won't know unless I go get another x-ray when he does it. Do I know when he's going to do it? No, but I know he is. That's the God I serve. That's the power of our words. That's the power, the authority that he has invested in us. It's a time to plant. You're going to plant Friday night. Carefully consider what you want to plant. Carefully consider what you want, what obstacles you want to move. Carefully consider what words you want to send into your future, 30 years ahead of you or more. If I send them 30 years ahead of me, I'm going to live to be 105. Okay, anyway, that was a little. But carefully consider what decrees you want to put out there, what decrees you want to declare, so that they will be established. We must declare the decree to establish it. It does you no good. You can write 100 decrees, but if you don't publish them, if you don't make them known, too bad, you just wasted a bunch of time thinking about what decrees you wanted and thinking about what you wanted to write. You spent a lot of time writing them with just the perfect wording. I'm sorry, Jeff, I'm that way. I've got this little bit of OCD going on. The words have got to be just right. Excellence, that's what it is, excellence. And you spent all that time, and if you don't stand up and declare them, you wasted all that time. You must declare your decree in order to establish it. If the king's decree had never been sent out by the town criers or the messengers, what good would it have done? Nobody would have known. If you don't declare your decree, nobody in heaven or earth, nobody in the spiritual realm or the physical realm knows what you said, what you wrote. So let's see. I think that's my last scolding for the night. I am so grateful to God that he made me go back and review, because I completely forgot how my whole history has been based on putting words out there. I learned it from my father. I didn't know what I was doing, but I was planting. I was planting words that have gone into my future, whatever, how many, 70 years later, I planted words into my education. You need to do that too. Look forward. Get excited about Friday night. Think about what you want to plant. What words you want to send into your future, what do you want to decree, and then declare it to establish it. Can you flip back to the verse? I just want to go back to the verse, Job. You will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you. It's not established until you stand up and declare it. Is that clear? It's not established until you stand up and declare it. And that's when light will shine on all your ways. Go to the last verse, please. Isaiah 8:20. Look to God's instructions. He's been instructing us all night long. And to his teachings, the words, the Bible, every word he has written. When you have written a decree, and you're ready to declare it, make sure your decree is founded on God's word. What are the Bible verses that go with what you say? I told you some of my decrees about my health, and one of the verses, anything that's planted in my body that's not planted by my Heavenly Father will be uprooted and destroyed. Mark or Matthew, I think, I don't know which one, 15, 13, I forget. By his stripes we are healed. God says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I will put none of these sicknesses on you. There's lots and lots of scriptures that you can find for any decree you want to declare. Make sure you find the ones that resonate with your heart. Can I say it that way? When you know what you want to declare, find the scripture verses, find God's instructions and teachings, the ones that resonate with your heart, the ones that you'll be able to remember. So when you declare your decree, you're working your Bible verses right into it. That's the way I do mine. I just, what's that? I am a problem solver. I am a solution. I can access the wisdom of God for every solution, for every situation. I have the wisdom of God for every circumstance because the Bible tells me that. So I put those words in my declaration, and then I read them every day. And you know, you don't take you very long to have those verses memorized either. So, Father, we're just so awesomely grateful that you invested our words with your power, that you've given us the same authority that you have to speak to things. We are so awesomely sorry that we have not taken this as seriously as we should. Father, we ask for your forgiveness for all the times and all the places where we have spoken carelessly, where we have not thought carefully about what we were about to say, and we planted things we didn't want to reap or we didn't want anyone else to reap. I ask you to forgive us, Father, and I ask you as we move forward with our lives to make us mindful of the obligation we have to use our words to build up and not tear down, the obligation we have to plant good seed, not bad seed, the obligation we have to send words into our future and into the future of others, words that will be speaking out for years and years and years. Actually, they never stop speaking. We're so grateful, Father, that you have given us the power to speak into that thing that you said, I know the plans I have for you, plans for good and not for evil, prosper you, not harm you. Our words cooperate with your will for our lives. And they give us a future. They give us a strong future and a strong hope because we're in your image. Daddy, we love you. We thank you. We bless your name. I ask, Daddy, that everything that we do tonight and tomorrow reflects your heart, and the words that we speak reflect your heart. I pray that every one of these people, Father, as they go home, you're working on their hearts, making this message even more real than it is tonight, and that they arrive safely home, that we see them arrive back here safely on Friday night with their weapons loaded, because our words are our most powerful weapon. Thank you for that, Daddy, in Jesus' name. Amen.